Bible friends, I don't know if you know, is an essential piece of equipment that you need in order to come to a right and saving knowledge of God through His Son Jesus Christ. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a member of any cult or sect. I am a bona fide Christian minister, Reverend James Hamilton, and I'm here to declare to you the truth as it is in Jesus, the gospel, the good news concerning the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Son of God and God the Son. There is no other God but Jesus Christ. And there is no salvation outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not in any one of your world religions, your cults, your sects, including the Worcester Society. There is not one ounce of salvation in any single one of them. Only in the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's He I'm here to tell you about here in Nantwich this afternoon. If you would like to have a copy of the entire New Testament is offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. You would like one, you feel free to come and ask for one. It's there for the taking. Word of God says, like to read a part of God's Word for you here this afternoon in Nantwich, words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and His gate is wide for the many who choose the easy way. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really wolves that will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You don't pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. A healthy tree produces good fruit, and an unhealthy tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is produced. Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. On judgment day, many will tell me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Go away. The things you did were unauthorized. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. And that way, of course, that narrow gate is Jesus Christ Himself. I am the door, He says. Anyone enters in by me, the blessing of God's kingdom is opened up to such. And of course, all the benefits of that kingdom. Kingdom of God is about goodness of living. It's about peace and joy. These are the fruits of the gospel. And of course, these These are commodities that you cannot buy had you all the money in the world, had you all the power in and of the world. You could not avail yourself of the peace and joy that the kingdom of God affords a man or woman. Of course, you cannot work for it. You can but trust God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Enter in through the narrow gate, Jesus says. The highway to hell is broad, and His gate is wide for the many who choose the easy way. And of course, it's well occupied. The broad road that leads to destruction, of course, it's well populated because it is easy. Because it's popular. Many travel that way simply and only because, well, their peers do so, family members do so, simply because it's popular. If it's popular, they say it must be good. If it's popular, if everybody's doing it, it must be right. Not necessarily so. No, friends, it's the narrow gate and it's the narrow pathway that leads to life, that leads to the kingdom of God. And of course you are, God declares in His Word, you are what you are by nature and by choice. And that is a sinner. And of course, because of that fact, a sinner by nature, conceived and born in sin, God says. So therefore, with a sinful nature, a bias away from God, and a bias towards that which is popular, that which is easy, that which is sinfulness, that which suits your nature, well, it's no surprise that the majority, that many choose to walk that route. But I have to tell you, well, as Jesus does here in the Word of God today, I have to tell you that the end of it is everlasting, is eternal destruction. But the gateway to life, that is to eternal life, is small, the road is narrow, not so popular, only a few ever find it. Because only a few ever seek it, and of course, only seek it by the grace of God. For where for God's grace, there's none of us would seek it. There's none who seeks God, God's indictment. None good, no, not even one, says God. None who seek after God, not unless that is by God's grace, you are caused to seek after God. But here's the thing, friends. Unless you do seek Him, unless you seek the narrow gateway, the one that leads to life, to eternal life, well, you'll perish in your sin. For God so loved the world, God's loving kindness, we have the gospel because of His desire that you should be saved, because of His desire that you should enter into the narrow gateway, walk down the narrow pathway, the one that leads to eternal life. The loving kindness of God, the goodness, the mercy, the compassion of God in sending His Son into the world that through Him that you might be saved. The God, you see, presents you with and even has His Word declared here amongst you this afternoon. What a wonder! What grace, what compassion, what mercy that God should plead with, implore such as yourselves, sinners to a man, to a woman, every single one of us born into this world. But of course, before a man or woman will ever seek to enter through the gateway to life, before a man or woman will ever seek after God diligently, I mean seriously, in a way that they will find Him. Well, friends, that takes a miracle from God. That takes a transformation of a person's nature. Because you see, the problem is, because we're born, because we're conceived in sin, because we're natural born sinners, we don't desire God. The last person in the universe that we would seek after. He's not in your thoughts. He wouldn't be in your thoughts, lest, of course, I wasn't here telling you about him. But you see, friends, it takes this miracle from God. Jesus, he terms it, he speaks of it as having been born again, you see? Born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, friends, unless God performs, unless he works this miracle of grace upon you and in you, you'll never desire God. You'll never seek after him. And of course, you'll never find him. You'll never enter in through this narrow gateway that leads to eternal life that Jesus speaks of. Your heart has to be circumcised. God has to take the heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh. He has to give you, by his grace, a heart that desires him, that longs for him, hungers for him, thirsts for him, for the living God. But God, you see, has made this new birth. He has made it possible, you see, in the gospel, in sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that through him, that you might be saved, that you might not continue on down this broad, so popular, well-populated route that ends up in eternal, everlasting destruction. A detour, a diversion, you see, is what's required of you. The Bible calls it repentance. You get off the broad motorway that everybody's piling down. You get off at the next junction. It's called repentance, you see. A change of direction. We all, like sheep, have gone astray as God wandered our own pathway. Man's pathway, of course, is the pattern of his life is living in sin, you see. It's the broad road, you see. It's the one that everybody's on and everybody loves, everybody likes and desires. That's why you won't come to the light, says God, because your deeds are evil, because you love the sin. You love the stuff, you see. You don't want to let it go because you love it too much. Well, says God, repentance, a diversion, you see, off this broad road has to take place. You have to leave it, and you have to get on through the narrow gate, and you have to get on down the narrow pathway. Not quite so easy. Bit more difficult, but it leads in life. It leads in eternal life. That repentance, you see, is what is required of you, a change of mind, you see? A change of heart and a change of direction. Pattern of living has to change, but that won't change, you see, until you change the person's heart. Until this miracle of grace takes place. Until the heart, you see, is changed by the supernatural work of God. It's not something you can do yourself. You can be, religious, but that's not the same thing. You see, religion doesn't save anybody. Friends, you can be religious yourself. My friends here next door to me, the Watchtower Society, you can do that yourself. Any one of your world religions, you can do that yourself. Go to the synagogue, the mosque, the temple. Take your pick. Anybody can be religious. You don't need God's help for that. But in order to get the life of God into your soul, in order to get your nature changed, your heart changed, in order to get the love of God into your heart, that takes a miracle. The Bible, God poses a question. Well, two questions for you. He says, can you change the spots in a leopard? And your answer to that question is no, of course not. That's his natural state. It would take a miracle to do that. Well, says God, how can you who are accustomed to doing evil, how can you do good? Same answer. That's your natural state to do evil. That's your natural inclination. It would take a miracle to change you and get you doing good. From God's perspective, that is. So you see, friends, it's a miracle that's needed. It's a new birth. You must be born again, Jesus says. Because unless a man is born again, he can't see. He can't even see. He can't even understand, perceive the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. You must be born again. You see, friends, we live with this misconception. You know that we're good people.
You're quite right.
Yes, we do. We do, ma'am. We do. You know, but it is a misconception. We're not good people. We're not good people at all. None of us. You know, I say to people, you know, you're going to go to heaven when you, even atheists, you know, I say to them, you're going to go to heaven when you die, when you're finished on this planet. And they tell me, yeah, I hope so, I think so. They're not quite sure. And I say, well, on what basis should God allow you into heaven? And they say, oh, because I'm a good person. I say, really? How many lies have you told? You ever stolen anything? Lusted after the opposite sex? No thief, no liar, nothing unclean will ever enter into my heaven, says God. There goes your perceived goodness. Jesus says only God is good. God says his indictment of the entire human race is this, friends, there is none good. There is no one good, no, not even one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because we are sinful natures that must needs be changed. You must be born again, friends. The nature must be changed. You'll never seek for the narrow gate. You'll never enter the narrow gate. Only a few ever find it. And they, by God's grace, if he wasn't looking for them, they wouldn't be looking for him. And if God wasn't looking for you, you wouldn't be looking for him either. But he does promise. He does promise that he is a rewarder of those who do diligently seek for him. If you seek for me with all your heart, you'll find him. But dear friends, you know, God's not playing hide and seek with you. You know, it's not that you're incapable. You know, it's because you see you've exchanged the truth for a lie. Because of your sinful nature, you embrace this lie from the pit of hell called evolution. That's your excuse. That's your sinful justification for not believing in God, that there is a God. But you know that God is. You know that God is just the same as I do. Yes, you know that he is, because he says. He says he's shown it to you. He's made it plain to you. He says you even clearly understand. You know that God is. So why do men and women embrace this nonsense of evolution? Why? Well, because they have a corrupt heart, corrupt nature. Because they don't desire God, because they hate God. Quite naturally, you see. But friends, that's why I say the nature must be changed. You must be born again. Takes a miracle from God, you see. Get a man seeking, looking after that narrow gateway that leads to life, to eternal life. But friends, you know that God is. You know that he exists. You know, you suppress the truth as God. You suppress that truth in unrighteousness and wickedness. You hold the truth down. You live in self-deception. You know that God is, but you don't want him to be. And you can't find him. You can't find him for the same reason that a thief can't find a policeman. You don't want to find him. Because, you know, you're on the wrong side of him. You know he's not pleased with you. You know that you're in debt to him. You know that he's your judge, and one day he will bring you to judgment. But friends, unless you find and get yourself through this narrow gateway that Jesus speaks of that leads to life, it's eternal life or eternal death. Take your pick. You're very chosen to be a sinner by nature and practice. The end of that is eternal destruction. I warn you, I implore you, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Get off the broad road and get on to the narrow one. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says, who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really wolves that will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way that they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You want to know if the tree's good? Well, you look at the fruit, you know? Apple tree, pear tree, it doesn't matter. You look at the fruit. If the fruit's good, well, you come to the conclusion the tree must be good. Well, friends, you look at a person, you look at a man, he comes to you with a philosophy, he comes to you with a message, he comes to you, well, with whatever, you know. You look at the person, you look at his life, you look at the fruits that it bears, you know. Your evolution, for instance, you know. Your Darwins and your Dawkinses, they come pumping you full of this atheistic godlessness. They would have you to be as they are, wicked and undone, and on the broad road that leads to destruction. They want to keep you on that pathway with themselves. Unbelief, you see, is never, never satisfied by being on its own. It has to be infecting other people, you know, taking others with them. It wants company. And here's the thing, friends, you know. You look at this godless, evolutionary atheism, call it what you will. But you look at it and you examine its fruits and ask yourself some questions about it. You know, friends, just in one century, the last century alone, people come to me, they tell me, you know, oh, religion, that causes war. Get rid of religion and you get rid of all the wars. Let me tell you, friends, in one century alone, the last century, yeah, not counting this one yet, the last century, yeah, 20th century, over 122 million people were violently killed, destroyed in the name of godless atheism. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Zedong, we could go on all afternoon. Friends, the fruit of evolutionary thinking that they embraced led to the slaughter of hundreds of millions of people. And it goes on today just the same. Its fruit is death, friends, death. Is your country, is your nation, is it a better country? Is it cleaner? Is it more morally upright? You know, is it good? Do you see wholesomeness? Do you not see the drug culture? Do you not see the violence? Do you not see the terrorism that lurks at the doors of all of your cities throughout the entirety of Europe? Never mind your own country. Do you not see that? Do you not see the degrading filthiness of men and women, of many of your young people? Do you not see that? That's the fruits of your godlessness. That's the fruit of your abandonment, your rejection of God. Russian author Solzhenitsyn, he wrote volumes. He examined the history of his own country and the slaughter that took place in the old Soviet Union. He says, I've examined it up one side and down the other. I've written dozens of volumes on it. He says, and I can only come to one conclusion in the end. We rejected God. We forgot God. And that was the end of it. Millions perished in that revolution. And people are still doing today. Friends, you forget God at your peril. All the nations that forget God will end up in hell, in death. So the narrow way of the broad road of the narrow way, the one that leads to life. Yeah, the tree, the fruit, that's what we're talking about, the fruit, you know. The fruit of evolution is death. The fruit of evolution is not good. Immorality abounds. All your abortion, your euthanasia, all the death in between, that's where it comes from. It comes out of the pit of hell. But then, of course, Satan The devil, the architect of it. He was a murderer from the beginning, Jesus says. He's the one behind it all, blinding the minds of men and women to the reality of God, reality of their sin, and of course the salvation, the rescue that could be yours, the loving kindness that could be yours through God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior and the only Savior. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says, who come disguised, you know, as harmless sheep. And of course they are bound today. It's the last days, the Bible tells me. And of course, the last of the last days, me thinks anyway, from what I understand of the Bible. So it's no wonder that confusion abounds. That you've got all these cults and all these sects that wander your streets, religions, you know, they're multiplied throughout the world. But friends, the Word of God, that's why I speak to you from an open Bible. That's why I offer you the Word of God, the Bible, because that's all that you need. That's all that you need. How can a man know the truth, you say? How can we know which one is true? How can we know that what you're saying is true and what these here on the left are saying isn't true? Because see, all these cults and sects and all your world religions, look at where they stem from. Some one individual person who claimed to have a revelation from God in secret and private that nobody else can verify. Yeah? Nobody else can verify. Including Charles T. Russell, the inventor of the Watchtower Society. But here's the thing, friends. The Bible can be verified. Over thousands of years, Moses, the Old Testament prophets, Jesus Christ himself, his apostles, revelations given to them, not in private, not in secret, openly. These things were declared before the entire world. And friends, every one of them authenticates the other. You never find Moses disagreeing with Jesus, Jesus with Moses. You never find the prophets disagreeing with the apostles, or the apostles with the Old Testament prophets. There's coherence to the Bible. It's verifiable. You can authenticate it as the truth. Revealed to us by God, given to us by God. It's a revelation from God, you see. Concerning Himself, His person, His holiness, His law. But underneath the hard rock of His holiness and His law, underneath is the molten love of God, the compassion, the mercy of God for sinners that have gone astray. And the reason why He's given us His revelation is that we might know Him. But first of all, we must needs come to know ourselves, because it's a revelation of what you're truly like. And you're not the person that you look at in the mirror every morning. That tells you the same lie every time. You're the fairest of them all. And that's a lie as well from the pit of hell. Because all the mirror in the world sees is the clothes, you know, the hairdo, the makeup, the outer image. But you look into the mirror of God's law and you'll see somebody totally different. You won't even recognize yourself. You won't want to. Because what you'll see is a person who is deceitful hearted and desperately wicked, vile, unclean before God. And without hope in this world and the world to come without Jesus Christ. So friends, it's the truth that you need. It's the truth about God, but it's the truth about yourself too, because until you know that, you're never going to seek after God. But it's the truth, friends, as it's revealed to us in the Word of God, in the Holy Bible. It's called the Holy Bible because it comes from a holy God. And friends, who requires that you and I, that we should be holy too. The Word of God, friends, false prophets, they abound in every day and generation, and more as time goes on. No surprises there.
But examine the fruit. Examine the fruit, says Jesus. That will tell you everything that you need to know. Middle Eastern religion, well, look at the fruit. Look at the fruit that comes from it. Well, you can tell, you know, that's not of God. No murderer has eternal life, says God. These people delude themselves, millions of them, poor blinded souls. And they think they're doing God some kind of a favor by killing people. And that they're going to go to heaven. They're going to go to some paradise. Friends, what a delusion is that? Tell me that's not of the devil, of Satan, the murderer, from the beginning. Friends, no murderer has eternal life. And people who go about this world murdering and killing in God's name, they are deluded, and you must not be deluded by them. Whatever men say to you, examine the fruit. What's the fruit of what they're saying? What's the fruit of what they're teaching? What's the fruit in their own lives? Not what a man says. Not what a man says. It's how he lives. The kingdom of God is about goodness of living and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit of God. So Jesus, he says, every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Friends, that's the judgment day. That's the day, friends, when Jesus comes again and separates the wheat from the chaff. The wheat go to heaven and the chaff goes into the fire. You know, the bad tree is chopped down and thrown into the fire. It's an illustration, it's a picture of the end. When God, through His Son Jesus Christ, comes to judge the world in righteousness. And friends, if you've not borne good fruit, and how can you produce good fruit from a bad heart? Here's the problem, friends. You got a bad heart and you got a bad record. And friends, you cannot produce good fruit. Not until your heart's made good. You must be born again, you see. The heart must be changed in order for you to bear good fruit. And if you continue on to the end of your course in the same fashion, in the same way, in your natural state and condition that you were born in and that you lived in, and if you die in that state, that condition, friends, the end is chopped down and thrown into the fire, the fires of hell. Not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. And what is it that Jesus, His Father in heaven, would have you to do? Obey? What is His command to you today, this afternoon, here in Nantwich? This, that you should repent and believe the gospel. That you should hearken to, this is my beloved Son, He says, obey Him. Obey Him. And what does He say to you? He says, repent and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the only way you can enter into it is by it. Is by the way of repentance and faith. No other way, friends. No way in. Only through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the way of repentance and of faith. But here's the thing, friends, it's all of God. It's all of God, you see, you got to be born of God. It's not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. It's of God. It's all of God. It's a gift of God. You can't do it yourself. You can't cause yourself to be born again. You can't cause yourself to repent. You can't cause yourself to believe. You might as well pull yourself up by your bootlaces or try to repent and believe the gospel. So you say, well, what am I to do? Why does Jesus command me to repent and believe the gospel if I can't do it? These are gifts, you see. Gifts from God. It's not of man, you see. It's not of yourself. It's of God. He gives the gifts. Of course, you could cry out to Him. You could seek after Him until you find Him. Jesus, He says here, keep on asking and you will be given. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, that he may have compassion, show mercy, abundantly pardon. Oh, the Bible, friends, I recommend it to you. I offer it to you. Friends, it's full of promises. Promises from God of salvation, of goodness, mercy, compassion, loving kindness. Full of such, friends. But without, well, you've got two alternatives. You've got a naked faith, a naked trust, a naked reliance upon what God has promised in His Word, or faced with utter demoralization and defeat. So which will you choose? Which will you choose? Demoralization and defeat? Because that's the end. That's the end of the broad road. That's the end. That's the pathway. Ends in destruction. That's the end of ungodliness. That's the end, you see, of the bad heart and the bad record. The damnation of hell is called. Death will come. And it'll take you out of this world. And it'll take you into the presence of God. And He will dispatch you according to what you have done with His Son Jesus Christ, or not done with Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But this is a condemnation, says God, that you have not believed in the name of His only Son. Condemned. I don't have to condemn you. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn, I came to save. He doesn't have to. We're all of us already condemned. Born in sin. Living in sin. And oh, God changes the heart, changes the nature, and makes the fruit good, makes you good by the power of His gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Oh, there'll be many in that day who reckon themselves to be good persons, respectable persons, some of them even religious, some of them will even have Bibles in their hands. And Jesus will say to them, He says, I never knew you. Go away. The things you did were not authorized from the Word of God, that is. So what you believe, whether it be evolutionism, watchtower society, Islam, Romanism, Buddhism, Confucianism, you find it authorized in the Word of God? No, you don't. Friends, the gospel, only the gospel. The good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world to rescue you, deliver you, change you, transform you, make your heart good, and make the fruit good. Only the gospel, only my gospel can do that for you. The good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, that alone can bring about such a transformation as God requires of you. So I leave you with the words of the Lord Jesus, the first ones recorded of Him in the New Testament. Repent, He says, and believe the gospel. And you ask why? And He says, because the kingdom of God is at hand, that's why. So you must needs repent. You must needs believe.
You must needs trust. You must needs rely upon what God has provided in His Son Jesus Christ, and what His Son Jesus Christ has accomplished in order for you to be saved, right with God, fit for life, fit for purpose, fit for God, and fit for heaven. Without Jesus, you get nothing of that, friends. Nothing at all. No hope in this world, and no hope in the world to come. Ah, dear friends, there's a world to come. Heaven to be gained and hell to be shunned. Flee into the arms of Jesus, the only Savior. Trust Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is the command, and the promise is you shall be saved. Ah, whoever calls shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, shall be saved from sin's penalty. Its wages is still death, eternal death even. Saved from the power of sin that holds you in its grip, vice-like grip, and will not let you go. Power of Jesus, His life, His death, His resurrection, His righteousness. Break, cancel the power of sin and set you free, liberate you for time and for eternity. Saved from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin that permeates your world, your society, your own hearts, lives, and homes. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I leave you the words of Jesus. Repent, He says. Repent and believe the gospel, Nantwich. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You would like to have a copy of God's word. Take home with you the entire New Testament offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. You would like to have one.